best. ESPN 93.5, Sunny 95.3.
Now on Mondays and Fridays, we get with Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka. Johnny in New Orleans. Johnny!
Good morning, CBJ, on Memorial Day.
Yes, sir. Mike Ditka in Chicago. Not very golfable this minute, Mike.
Oh, it's pretty ugly up here right now. You can hardly see out the window. I'm up on the 39th floor, but you can hardly see. It's all foggy and rainy, so it's not too nice. But hey, it's a great day. It commemorates a lot of great events in our country and a lot of great people.
And no question about it. This is Memorial Day. I just talked to a couple of World War II veterans, Mike. There is such a fabric of quality in that generation.
Yeah, I think quality and pride, too. Pride that they served their country, and it was an honor to do so. And, you know, it just, through the generations, I think we've lost that feeling somehow that no longer is important. And it really is. I mean, if you don't stand up for what you believe, you're going to end up believing what other people tell you to.
Well, too, you know, Mike, I think, and we've tried. We really do. We have these holidays, and we know some of our history, but I don't think we can appreciate the difference between what we've got, what we could have had if it wasn't for those guys in World War II.
Oh,
they were there,
John.
They knew what the alternative that they were facing was. They have a great appreciation for life. And that makes them, you know, kind of, they got that insight. They understand how bad it could have been. So, that's always come through. And they have that appreciation for what we have, which we say we do, but maybe we don't sometimes take it for granted a little bit, Steve, maybe?
Mm-hmm. There's no question. I asked Lloyd.
We do, yeah.
Lloyd Longenbaugh is this World War II guy I sat next to on an airplane, a 90-year-old guy, fought against the Germans in the skies, was a fighter pilot, and, you know, he just has this quality about him. You know, I ask him what he sees when he sees the flag. He says, I salute it in my mind every time. He was getting choked up, and I said, Lloyd, what's happened? He said, we spoiled the kids. He said, he says, there's so many problems now, and I don't know what the answer is. It's just as candid and as frank as can be, Mike.
Yeah, it really is, and we grew up, I mean, I was just a young kid at the end of World War II, and, you know, when the war ended, I can remember the celebrations, and I think I was five years old, I think, at the time, and 46 years old, I guess, 1945. And I can remember the celebration, the jubilation, the excitement, and the pride that people had, not only in the people who defended us, but this country in general. I mean, it was a great pride. This is a great country. The pride's gone. Where's it at?
Well, I think the other thing, Steve, you know, we have freedom, but freedom doesn't mean you can do anything you want. That doesn't really mean that. What it means is that you're free from oppression and you're free to be accountable. You're free to have an opportunity. You're free to do the right thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if we know what the consequences of doing the wrong thing are, because there aren't that many. And I don't know if we appreciate how important that is. And that's where you kind of just slip away, and I guess you have to go through trials in life to get character. Is that what they say? I mean, I guess that's the way it is, Mike. I don't know.
Well, I would hope that we would have more character without all the trials, because character is the fabric of what we stand for, what we believe, what we're made of. I mean, I can't believe that you have to be put under fire to have character. You know, if you understand right from wrong and good from bad, you should have fairly good character.
I mean, but we go from the depression days of not having anything to being mad about waiting in the drive-thru and not sure what kind of piercing or body part we're going to get tattooed next. It's just an entirely different reference point.
Wow. You're right. Priorities.
It's unbelievable. I have this little piece, and I really thought you guys should hear this, but it's from 1985, Ronald Reagan. Guys, it's about 2.5 minutes long, but I really want you to hear this and get your reaction. Ronald Reagan on the 40th anniversary of Omaha Beach, Normandy, D-Day. It's Ronald Reagan.
We stand on a lonely, windswept point on the northern shore of France. But 40 years ago at this moment, The air was dense with smoke and the cries of men, and the air was filled with the crack of rifle fire and the roar of cannon. Here in Normandy, the rescue began. At dawn on the morning of the 6th of June, 1944.
62 of the Rangers who scaled the cliffs there at Pointe aux Hôtes, now back 40 years later to the scene of their heroic action.
These are the boys of Pointe aux Hôtes. These are the men who took the cliffs.
It was a very moving experience. They were what General Marshall called our secret weapon, the best damn kids in the world. Where do we find them? Where do we find such men? And the answer came almost as quickly as I'd asked the question. Where we've always found them in this country. On the farms, the shops, the stores and the offices. They just are the product of the freest society the world has ever known.
Someday, Liz, I'll go back, said Private First Class Peter Robert Zanatta of the 37th Engineer Combat Battalion and first assault wave to hit Omaha Beach. Lisa Zanatta Hen began her story by quoting her father, who promised that he would return to Normandy. She ended with a promise to her father, who died 8 years ago of cancer. I'm going there, Dad. And I'll see the beaches and the barricades and the monuments. I'll see the graves, and I'll put flowers there just like you wanted to do. I'll feel all the things you made me feel through your stories and your eyes. I'll never forget what you went through, Dad, nor will I let anyone else forget. And Dad, I'll always be proud.
Ronald Reagan. Johnny, I don't know if we could, we're going to have another guy like Ronald Reagan again.
Yeah, and that's it. He had it right. And let's see, now it's been another almost 20 years, Steve. And
it's been
still need to remember that.
Well, it's almost 30 more years, Johnny. That was 1984. So, I mean, my goodness, not only does...
Holy cow, you may be right,
yeah,
Steve.
It's 70 years, just unbelievable. But yet, again, back at that time, we had these guys that were still around. When these World War II guys go away, I don't know if we replace them, Mike.
Well, you know, and let me ask, I don't know, what's the difference? You know, through the generations, don't you think it's the upbringing and the parents? There's a completely different upbringing in America today than there was when you grew up or I grew up. Responsibility, obligation, obedience, these things. I mean, it's, you know, and I don't see that. So I think there's much more of a liberal view in America than there's ever been. Instead of saying, hey, here's your responsibility, it's to get up, go out on the farm, you know, milk the cows, do this, do that. I don't see, I'm sure it exists, but I don't see nearly as much as it is. And I think it's because basically the values of our parents are changing more and more as we go through these different generations.
No, I think that's true. I think that there was much more of a strict upbringing. Steve, you remember, you know, the teachers could discipline you back when I was in school.
Yeah.
The teachers could.
Yeah.
And, for example, just culturally, you had more rules, I guess, and we've grown to kind of appreciate not having that many restrictions, not many rules. But then don't we lose discipline?
Yeah.
And then we kind of lose our way. I think it's an interesting study, I'll tell you. It's the evolution of civilization, I guess, guys. But I know we all were working towards making life better for our kids, and now they don't have to do anything, Steve.
Mm. No, it's almost completely opposite. A teacher will get sued if she does anything or he does anything. And it's just a crumbling of the family unit, I think. I think that's got to be a big part of everything.
Let me. I was. Somebody, one of my best friends, sent me something. It was kind of interesting. Came out of the Chicago Tribune. It was Scott Stannis, and it's a cartoon. And the cartoon on one side, on the left side, it has a football player in a jersey with number 15 on it, Tebow, and it says, coming out of his mouth, it says, "I'm Christian." And then the guy walking past him says, "Keep it to yourself." Then on the right, it says, basketball player with the number 98 and Collins on his back, and it says, I'm gay. So, boy, tell me more, son. Pretty interesting.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting on the media? Isn't it just interesting?
Yeah. It's Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka on this Memorial Day, ESPN and the new Sunny 95.3. I want to talk a little basketball when we come back after these messages from our sponsors, Flooring Surfing. It's ESPN, the new Sunny 95.3.
Here is Patty A for three, and that has to feel good. They're up off the Miami bench, celebrating that three-point shot.
Well, Mike Ditka, you said Miami was the best team, and they looked to me to go up another level last night. Holy mackerel, they looked good.
Well, when you score, everybody scored in double figures on the basketball team. You know, it's not about one player or two, but although those players make it happen, don't get me wrong, without LeBron James or Wade or Dwayne Wade, but they're all good, Bosh. I mean, they got so many people that can play. And first of all, let me say this, the whole NBA is that way. I mean, all these guys, it's unbelievable, you know. I played basketball one time. What they do is not what I did. I don't know what the heck I was doing, but they call it basketball. These guys are phenomenal athletes, and I give Indiana a lot of credit. I really do, but I just Miami's a better team.
Well, the other thing, they did something that was pretty fundamental but worked, which is Bosch pulled out. Well, that pulled their guy Hibbert out a little, and then Wade and LeBron James kept driving. And that changed everything. And then they were making baskets.
I think they'll make an adjustment, John, but I don't know how good it can be.
I don't know.
I watched some of the hockey game. Well, you guys may not watch hockey, but I watched most of that San Jose L.A. King game, and, boy, I tell you what, those hockey players, man, are they good. I mean, boy, do they work out there. I mean, it's such a demanding sport. I mean, they lose so much water and energy they use up and down that. I mean, it's and then they get knocked around pretty good, too. So I got to watching that.
Mike, I could see you as a hockey guy, Mike. You probably would have been pretty good at it.
Listen, I have more respect for those guys. I mean, they skate. I mean, you know how hard that is? I mean, I used to. When I was a player, I used to hang around with Stan Mikita, Bobby Hall, and those guys. And you could not believe the amount of water they lose during a game and weight. And so, you know, those guys drank a lot of beer afterwards. But I tell you, they needed to replenish themselves. But they hustle. I mean, it's tough. And they got the big uniform on with those pads, and then you're in a heated building. I don't care if they got ice or not. It's still heated. And so they sweat pretty good.
I'll be done. Well, I'll tell you, my ankles get tired watching it.
Oh, absolutely.
I never could skate very well, but we did have some broom hockey going, Stevie, and some, you know, we'd run around on the ice when it froze and flop around. It's kind of a fun game to play, but we never really had a big hockey league around Central Illinois.
And not much ice around here. I mean, ice time is tough. I know a lot of kids that do play, they have to go to Chicago, Indianapolis. They do have a little ice here, but not much. But hockey is followed here. A lot of people like the Blues and the Blackhawks, but otherwise it's not ginormous for us here in this region. Well, if you look around, the NBA playoffs again coming to a head. We had, again, the hockey. All of this is happening at once. And one more thing about the NBA, Mike, is that you get to that level, as you said, they're all so good. But, man, you get to Miami and you got LeBron, you got Wade, you got Bosch. They're such a good team. And then San Antonio, they all look my age, and they're still really, really good.
That's good, Steve.
I mean, Ginobili looks like my hair. He doesn't have any. Wow. How do you still play basketball? It's just remarkable, these
guys. Well, you know, too, and it just goes to show you, it's sports, because the Grizzlies, they could be 2-1 right now. They're 0-3. They just lost a couple overtime games. You know, those things go either way sometimes. But San Antonio, of course, I think that Popovich is probably the best coach going right now. And then he's got these smart players. They're playing for a reason. And they've had a lot of experience. So I don't think the Grizzlies can beat them 4 in a row.
No.
So I think they'll play the winner of the Pacers to the Heat. And I guess they'd have a chance, Mike, but I can't see the Spurs beating the Heat.
I love the way they play. And I think you hit it right on the button. I mean, you know, you look at some of their players, Parker, and such a Duncan. You know, they're just such special guys. They look like class guys. I don't know, high character guys, and they play the game the way you like it. And I'm sure Miami's guys are exactly the same way. There's no difference, but. It's fun to watch them play, and it's, you know, and if you're a Miami fan, I can see why it would be fun to watch them play, because I mean, you're talking about, if you're a coach of a team like Miami, yeah. I mean, I don't know how you keep everybody, you know, on the same page without guys trying to be the superhero mm-hmm. every night and this and that and hogging the ball. But, I mean, they're doing a good job right now. They spread it around pretty good.
All right, finally.
Yeah, they do seem to click. They certainly did the other night. And it's back to just the general NBA player, Stevie.
Yep.
You just watch some of the things they do, and you go, what? Did
oh,
you,
boy.
And
yeah.
you, what did he do? Did he just
yeah.
do what I think?
No, I know. It is
slow
remarkable.
Slow down, and you see some kind of reverse jam. It's
yeah.
like, good grief.
It's crazy.
They all play above the rim.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Last thing I wanted to bring up, and it's just another kudos to you, Mike. This retiring of the Bear jersey, I mean, boy, was it all over all weekend. And it's a big deal, Mike Ditka, to have your number retired when the Bears just don't retire. They said they're not going to retire any other numbers. So 89, and Johnny, it's against Dallas on Monday Night Football, I think December 9. And I think appropriate because Dallas was a big part of your life as well.
Well, it really was. I think the Bears thing with Coach Halas hired me as a player and a coach, but my life turned around in Dallas with Coach Landry. I mean, and I've said that a thousand times that, he's was a true mentor in my life that made me understand and realize what was really important. And it really got me back on track there. I mean, and I was very fortunate to be able to, but, you know, they're retiring the number. And let me say, and I want people to understand what I'm saying, it wouldn't have changed anything about the way I felt, about the way I contributed to the Bears as a player and a coach. I think it's a culmination of a career. That's what it is. It's a great, great honor. A great honor. To be recognized with some of the guys that have their numbers retired. You're very humbled by that, believe me, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. But George McCaskey is a real guy. He's a real deal. And he's the guy that's running the Bears now. And him and they came in, they'll call me in about it. I had, I guess, a dinner with him about 2 weeks ago, and I had no idea what he wanted. He said, can we have dinner? And him and Ted Phillips came down, and I said, sure. So we sat there talking. He says, we want to retire your number. And I was stunned. I just looked at him. He said, is that okay? I said, yeah, I would be more than honored, you know. And I don't know what to say about that, but I tell you one thing, when you look at the guys who've had theirs retired, and they can't retire numbers anymore because they ain't got enough numbers.
Yeah,
especially.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I guess they have retired Red Grange's number. Is that right,
yeah.
Mike?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Red Grange and a couple guys I'm not super familiar with, the early guys, but then, of course, Walter and Dick Butkus and Gale Sayers. I mean, those are pretty good names. But, Mike Ditka, again, cumulatively, it's got to be the most important Bear, I think. I mean, that's why, Mike, I mean, you just did it all for the Bears early, and then again, you got them the 85 thing.
Yeah, but I think that became about because of opportunity. I had a great opportunity twice for Mr. Hallison, and we were fortunate enough to get it done both times, and 63 is a championship team. And the other thing is this year they're honoring the 63 team, the 50th anniversary. There's
no kidding.
25, there's 25 of us alive out of off that team. And they're doing it on a Sunday, which is going to be hard for me to do anything, but I'm going to try to find a way to get into that, too.
Wow. Well, Mike, Johnny, always a pleasure. God bless America. Thank you both for being up on Memorial Day morning, and we'll call you on Friday.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
God bless you. Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, brought to you by Flooring Services, Lance Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, and by Max Twin City Recycling.